AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Houston, standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe Joy.
I think I figured out why the bad news is color, dude. They can't get the start time of our show right. Another reason to be in a bad mood. Get to Monday Night Football in a second. I don't like the way this Major League Baseball offseason is starting for the Houston Astros.
I don't either.
I saw something as I was meditating earlier today. How could you see something as you're meditating? I do it very unique. Uniquely.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my new favorite words, unique. As I was meditating today, Brandon Woodruff accepts the qualifying offer from the Brewers. I wanted him to be a Houston Astro on a $40 million two-year deal. Thanks a lot, Brando. So that didn't put me in a great mood. And then Brian, wet blanket Brian over there, delivering the news, reported, I think, first by Chandler Rome, maybe Brian McTaggart. I don't know. It's always one of those two guys. Oh, yeah, go Cooks. I was wondering why you played that for a second. The Astros are DFAing Ramon Urias to make room for Miguel Yolola on the 40-man. Okay, that's fine. Like, Miguel Yolola needed to be protected. He's not a Rule 5 guy. If you place him in the Rule 5, he's going to get drafted. He's no longer going to be in your organization. You needed Miguel Yolola. But Ramon Urias over Mauricio Dubon? And I know I'm going to make people mad here.
Dubon.
I know. Look, Joe just went,
I can't believe you just said that. No, I think you're looking at the wrong people of the or part of this.
Okay, well, I went Urias and Dubon because they're very similar in terms of their position usage.
Yeah.
Now, Dubon can play some outfield. Urias doesn't really do that.
Yeah, but you also could have DFA'd someone else.
Okay, well, then who?
Taylor Trammell.
Oh, yeah, good call. He's the left-handed bat they covet.
Logan Van Wey.
Logan Van Wey.
Why?
Yeah, oops. Get it right.
Is De Los Santos a must-keep on the 40-man roster instead of waiting to trade one of these guys?
Enyo De Los Santos. He was pretty good.
I agree.
I wouldn't mind if Enyo De Los Santos is in on your big league roster.
Yeah, but could you have kept
Trammell is a good call.
Yeah.
Trammell, some people would say Jesus Sanchez. I don't agree with the Jesus Sanchez part of it. You could have DFA'd Jesus Sanchez. I would have rather had Urias than Dubon, though. Urias is a better baseball player than Mauricio Dubon. Yeah, Doobie's got the doble gold glove, but he's still not as good as Ramon Urias, and Urias is projected to make $1.5 million less dollars than Mauricio Dubon. Urias, 11.2 career war, 104 career OPS plus. Dubon, a 7.3 career war, 85 OPS plus. We don't care about their careers. We care about the right now. What did you do for me lately? War. Mauricio Dubon had a 1.7 war last year, Joe. Ramon Urias had a 2.2 war in less at bats.
Yeah.
Mauricio Dubon couldn't hit his weight. Well, he had 241. But he had a 78 OPS plus. The average for a Major League Baseball player is 100. Dubon had a 78 plus. Urias wasn't great, 88, but over the course of his career, he's been an above average hitter. They kept Dubon, who's making $1.5 million more over Urias, and you're right. Like, there's some other names. Logan Van Wy could have very easily been a guy. Taylor Trammell could have easily been a guy there, too. So I don't hate those as well. But if I went tit for tat, Urias for Doobie, I don't care about the gold gloves. Urias is better and he's cheaper.
Yeah, I think it's the wrong move. I would have kept Urias over Dubon.
Dubon.
And look, I don't hate your idea. Keep them both.
Yeah, and then
make Dubon a backup outfielder. Get rid of Trammell.
Or trade one of, like, keep them both.
Trade one.
Trade one of them.
Not, for anything.
Yeah, like.
I don't like the way this offseason started. This just cements.
Your bad mood?
I wasn't going to go there. I was going to go with, I don't really have faith in Dana Brown.
Mm.
Like, I know this is minor. I get it. Like, we're talking about a utility player. We're talking about a backup guy that hopefully doesn't even play that much. I understand. I get it. It's minuscule in the grand scheme of things. But if you can't get the minuscule things right, I'm supposed to trust you on the big things?
Yeah. It doesn't help their case for doing the big things in any of this. I don't like this move either. Like, is it a major move? No, but you could have saved $1.5 million and probably got the better baseball player, but this is probably a culture thing.
Yeah, they don't want to do. They want. They believe in Doobie to do it.
Doobie do it.
Doobie did it. He got Ramon Urias the better player DFA'd.
He did.
I think did Urias was this Urias's final year? I think he might have had an extra year of club control too. If that's the case, I'm going to be really mad. Because not only do you get rid of the worst player, but you get rid of the player who had more club control. I don't know if he had an extra year or not. But if he did, that's not great.
Looks like his arbitration ended next year.
Okay, so they're both in the final year.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a little more tolerable. Still not tolerable. I'm not happy about this, Joe.
No, I don't like this move.
Woodruff is off the board. You keep the worst player. I don't trust Dana Brown.
And just to get all the information out there, Fromber declined your option, your qualifying offer as well. That was inevitable, but just make sure you put it all out there.
So you're going to get a draft pick there.
You are. That's good. You get a draft pick because of Hunter Brown.
You want? Yeah, that's actually better.
That's a first rounder.
We think that the Astros were above the luxury tax threshold.
We think.
Depends on who you ask. It's like 99% sure. The bad news with that, though, is that Fromber declining the qualifying offer, your pick isn't going to be as good because you're above the competitive balance tax. If you're under, I think it's after the first round. Now that you're over, I think it's actually a repeat offender. I think it might actually happen after the fifth round this year for the Astros because they're a repeat offender.
Yeah, and look, it's not Santa asked us on Twitter, who's the backup shortstop if you move on from
Dubon? Urias.
Yeah, or Bryce Matthews, who's on the 40-man roster.
It doesn't seem like they like him there, though.
Well, you also have this guy named Carlos Correa that can play shortstop. If you need help.
To be fair, Urias hasn't played short like the last few years, but that's not stopping me from keeping him over Dubon.
Yeah. It's not going to make or break the Astros season, but, and I'm not as bad.
Or Correa.
Yeah, that's what I said. I just said that.
Oh, I wasn't listening because I'm angry. I'm seeing red right now.
I can tell. But yeah, Correa could have played shortstop for, the month that Pena misses.
Are we talking Astros in November? Why? Hold on a second. This junkie said, are we talking Astros and November? No, currently we're just talking about the Astros. We said nothing about the month of November. You know what? You're gone.
See ya.
That was a quick trigger, Brandon. You're darn right it was a quick trigger. I'm in a bad mood.
Yeah. A lot of people are going to get banned today. Over under, Brian? We're at 2 so far.
Objections. They're not banned.
I'll put the over under, including the 2, 4.5.
I don't think we get to that high. It's been two in
more?
An hour. It depends if you ask Cutler when the show starts.
An hour and 12
can
minutes.
Can I eject Cutler?
No.
That's third.
You can't.
Well, that's a third, though.
But he has to be part of it. Yeah. You can't eject him.
Maybe Dubon has agreed to an extension. I hope not. I don't want to extend Mauricio Dubon. I hope not. I hope he did not get extended because his arbitration estimate for Mauricio Dubon is $5.8 million. You want to give a multi-year contract to Mauricio Dubon for $6 million or more?
No.
That's bad ball.
It kind of feels like Dana Brown made this move based on vibes, which
yes.
I don't love.
He's a chemistry guy.
Yeah, it's a vibes move.
This.
You're overreacting, Branham. I know what you're thinking. And you're right, I am. But it just does not give me confidence in an instrumental, critical offseason that Dana Brown's going to do it right.
Well, this is probably a Joe Espada move, too, right? If it's a vibes move.
If Joe Espada's making managerial that's not the right word. If Joe Espada is making roster decisions, then the Astros hierarchy is an issue.
You don't think that he has some say in like a situation like this? $1.5 million, which guy do you prefer to have?
He might have say, but if he does, I cannot stand their policies and principles. A general manager should not give the manager roster decisions on November 18th on who to keep on the 40-man.
Yeah, I like having my manager a little involved.
When it's Joe Espada? If it's Dusty, let's get Dusty into the room here. I don't mind that Joe Espada's in the room, but Joe Espada should not have any influence. Joe Espada's not earned that.
Well, I mean, he's been here longer than Dana Brown.
He was a bench coach.
I would say Joe Espada has say just because you kept him.
I don't like it. I don't think that Joe Espada should have any say on the roster. No say. I'm not even sure he should have say on the lineup. I don't like Joe.
Well, does he?
I think Joe's a mediocre manager. Espada. I do. I think he's a mediocre manager. I think if you blind ranked managers in baseball, 1 through 30, I think Espada would be in the middle.
I don't think
that's an outrageous take.
No, I think he'd be
not.
Below the halfway point.
Why are we acting like that's an outrageous take?
No, you're
take?
Just spicy today.
I know, I'm not spicy. I am accurate.
Would Dana Brown also be bottom half?
I think he'd be in the bottom third.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm fine with that.
Unfortunately.
I mean, maybe we'll do that. Here's a general manager. Who's better, this guy or this guy? Who's a better manager, this guy or this guy? I think that we would all come to the conclusion that Joe Espada is somewhere in the middle, and that Dana's probably somewhere in the lower middle. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener. I don't like that you call me spicy either. You're a gringo. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Willie, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up?
Yeah, Jeremy, you said something I didn't agree with there. Okay. You said Arias was better than Duvon. Nice. I don't know in what world would you say that. I know you
War, OPS you, Plus.
You probably prefer offensive players over defensive players, but why would you take just an infielder over a guy that can play seven positions and play them well, and a guy that in the first half of the season kept you in ball games with his timely hitting, even though he didn't get to play that much? I don't understand this with Jeremy. I don't like Dana Brown either or Joe, but I really like Duvon.
Appreciate the call, Willie, and I respect your opinion. And I just disagree with it here. But I respect your opinion. You know ball. And you're right. I do like offensive players more than defensive players. I don't think there's a huge drop-off between Arias and Duvon defensively. I will agree with you that Dubon's better defensively. I have no problem saying that. But I don't think it's a massive drop-off. I don't think the gap between Duvon and Arias defensively is as big as the gap of Arias and Duvon offensively. Arias makes up the gap defensively with his bat. And Arias is a good defensive player. He's a former Gold Glove, too. Now, the seven defensive positions for Mauricio Duvon, I guess we're talking about all of them other than catcher and pitcher. So you're talking first, second, short, third, left, center, right. Do you want Mauricio Duvon to ever play left or right field?
Not really.
Like, if he's one of your corner outfielders where you're supposed to have offense, that's a problem. So, yeah, tip your cap to the versatility, but you never want Mauricio Duvon in those spots. Maybe late game, defensive replace, but you never want him to start a game at left and right. Same thing at first. Mm-hmm. Same thing at first. Third base, okay, Dubon's better defensively than Arias at third base, but Arias is the better hitter. Arias hasn't played shortstop in a couple of years. You have some options there that don't include Duvon, whether, hey, Arias, pick up that glove, play a little shortstop, or you slide Correa over to short where he's still very good. So I don't see the advantage there that Duvon is able to play multiple positions.
Yeah, I just think you're just, at this point, you're strong enough defensively where how many like late game substitutions defensively are you trying to make for the Houston Astros outside of left field?
Yeah. I also think people sometimes just far overrate like how many positions a guy can play. Like, okay, he can play seven, but if he's a minus hitter or below average hitter at all seven positions, is that really like? Yeah, okay, it helps if you have a bunch of injuries. Sure, it helps maybe to give the guys days off, but like I don't see it as this trump card in the conversation. Yeah. Like if he's a minus defensive or offensive player at one position, he's a minus at all of them.
Well, you can get away with a bad bat at some premium defensive positions. Catcher, short, center, third base coming a little bit more
it's
of a premium.
It's just, like he's going to be a hitter you don't trust regardless of where you play him.
Yep.
I have a big picture question for this.
Okay. You want to tease it?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's tease Joe's big picture idea. I'm sure it's great. And That's how you sell it, baby. That's how I keep you, the audience, through the break. I sell how great Joe's question's going to be. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. You know what's as great as what Joe's question's going to be? Higgins Boat Rum! Higgins Boat Rum is sensational. You need to get your hands on a bottle right now. And whenever you do get your hand on a bottle, by the way, you're also donating to Camp Hope, which is going to support our veterans. What do you mean? Well, Higgins Boat Rum pays tribute to our military heritage. It's named after the iconic landing craft that turned the tide in World War II. But Higgins Boat Rum donates 10% of profits from every bottle to Camp Hope to support our veterans. So you're honoring heroes with every pour. So it's a win-win. You're getting fantastic top-shelf rum, and you're also helping the cause a bit. Higgins Boat Rum is known as the Texas bourbon drinker's rum. It is bold. It is smooth. It is steeped in history, honors the greatest generation. Perfect to sip neat on the rocks or the big rock. Higgins Boat Rum is excellent for crafting your Texas-inspired cocktails. I've been having my old-fashioned with it. Love it. I've heard that the Manhattan with it is good. Manhattan's not my drink, and old-fashioned is, but I've heard that it's very good there. Pina colada, Mai Tai for the boys. They love it. Cuba Libre. It's perfect with them all. Higgins Boat Rum uses the Prosecco craft technology that we've all grown to love, makes it smoother, enhances those natural flavors and aromas while removing those bad, harsh elements. Follow Higgins Boat Rum on all of their social medias. You're going to get live updates about your new favorite rum. You're going to get some behind-the-scenes stories. Great content, too, on all of their social media accounts. Tasty cocktail ideas as well. A premium top-shelf rum at a great price. Get your bottle now at Total Wine in Baybrook or at HigginsBoatRum.com. Shipping to 48 states across the U.S. So you can send this to your family members that you're not going to see. It makes a great gift. You can use Higgins Boat Rum to pay off a debt that you've never paid. HigginsBoatRum.com. Order now. Bring home a bottle of courage.
ESPN 97.5.
This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. Jeremy and Joe. What was your great question, Joe?
All right, so they've got a lot of infielders, Jeremy. A lot of infielders.
The Astros, yeah.
Mauricio Dubon is best in the infield, as is Urias. Is this an indicator that everyone else is going to return? Christian Walker, Paredes, no. Not at all.
No, it's not an indicator that they're going to return. It's an indicator that they're going to be here for now. Like, they had to make that decision.
We think today.
Immediately.
Yeah.
So, like, either you don't, like, it was Yolola or figure out somebody to
DFA.
And to figure out somebody to DFA. Now, you could talk about who they should have DFA'd. I thought you brought up some good names. I immediately went to the comp, the player comp. But Logan Van Wy would have been fine. I wouldn't have lost any sleep about Logan Van Wy. I wouldn't have lost any sleep about Taylor Trammell. And I like Taylor Trammell a little bit. I think he's got some thump. But no, I mean, they can still trade any of those guys.
Because if you were going to keep both of them, it feels like you would have still this. Yes, you could still trade someone. But based off the reporting we've already had about Christian Walker, about Paredes, all this stuff, it feels like it doesn't also then make sense to keep two utility infielders on top of that. And it feels like, for at least for today, that's part of the reason why they made this decision over Trammell for me.
No, I don't think. I think it's more just the calendar. Like, if they had an offer next week that they could trade Christian Walker for a pretty good prospect and not retain any salary, are they making that trade?
Probably.
Yeah, so you're not committed to these guys the remainder of the offseason. Like, I still think you're going to kick the tires on things. You're still going to explore things. Mm-hmm. If they could trade Christian, and this is not realistic, I'm just throwing this out there for clicks. If you could trade Christian Walker for Brendan Donovan today, are they doing it?
Yes.
Yeah, so how does this move have anything to do with Christian Walker being on this team come opening day?
Well, I'm wondering if they want to. Like are they wanting to explore those things?
Look, I can't speak for Dana.
Yeah.
Dana can't even speak for Dana, because what Dana says never comes out to be truthful. I don't think he's lying. I don't think that he's informing us misinformation intentionally. I don't think it's a lie. I just think he says stuff and doesn't always follow through. Like when he told Salisbury, like, we expect Kyle Tucker to be here for the remainder of his career, I don't think that he was lying in that moment. I believe that he believed that. Now, can we be critical of him believing that? Mm-hmm. Sure, sure. And can we be critical of him saying things and then actually them never happening? Sure. But do I think he's like a cold-blooded liar? No, I don't think Dana's a cold-blooded liar. I think he's kind of loose-lipped and just kind of talks a lot and then sure. Can't always back up what he says. I don't think he's like an intentional liar or anything like that. But no, if a good offer came up for Walker, he would be gone. He would be gone because it opens up so many. Like I said, like yeah. if the Cardinals, and they would never accept this, but if you could trade Christian Walker for Brendan Donovan tomorrow, do the Astros make that trade?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They do.
So I don't think that's why I don't think that this move is an indicator about the rest of their roster.
That's fair.
The rest of the offseason. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Keith, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Love the baseball conversation. November. Obviously, you know, a lot of action going on today. It kind of feels like, you know, the Astros are, you know, as long as Jim Crane's the owner of the team, you know, they're going to be in a win-now mode. The window's open. I'm seeing the Astros linked to Dylan Cease once again. I think he's the best starting pitcher on the market, turns 30 this Christmas. You know, fastball slider, really good chase rate, you know, a perfect pitcher to replace Frommer in the rotation. Where would you say on a 1 to 100% chance that Cease is an Astro? And I think with the Astros, you know, you know, resume and proof of, like, you know, their pitching staff and their coaches have been able to elevate pitchers. You know, what do you think of Cease being an Astro next year?
I think Cease would be a great option. I think they can help unlock him more than what he's been before. I was much more confident, like 2 weeks ago, I think it was, or last week as we were discussing this. I'm like 30% chance the Astros can get him at this point.
30?
Yeah.
Well, you said the other day was like as good as happening.
Yeah. I'm kind of
what's changed in this kind of dead period?
Just
that
reading like what John Heyman, all these people are talking about, his market, and it seems like it's bigger than I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I do think Woodruff and Imanaga both accepting their qualifying offers today, it then limits the market even more. And it just means Cease's price is going to keep going up.
Yeah, more demand, less supply.
Yeah, because I feel like those two guys were going to be high target free agents.
Well, equal demand, less supply, I guess.
Like, are they as good as Cease? No, I would say they're not. But now you just have less guys on the market that are good pitching. So it just makes it harder for the Astros to get them.
Yeah, my odds have increased based on a source that was talking to me. That basically says that Crane loves Dylan Cease.
If Crane loves him.
Yeah.
He wants him.
Now, there are a lot of things that make me skeptical of this, obviously. Like, Crane has never signed a pitcher to that big of a contract. The last pitcher that he did sign to that big of a contract immediately became a bad contract. Lance McCullers. They signed Christian Javier to an extension, team-friendly extension. That has been negative ROI. Mm-hmm. Josh Hader. Depends on where you're at on that side of the conversation. Has Josh Hader's contract been positive or negative ROI? I think it's probably slightly negative, and he still has three more years left on that contract. But if Crane likes his shiny toy, Crane's going to go get his shiny toy. So the odds for me have increased a little, but I still think it's like 15%.
Yeah,
15%.
It just if he really wants him, he's going to go get him. The only thing about the pitching, like the negative ROI on those contracts, it didn't stop him from signing Christian Walker.
No, it did
after
not.
Jose Abreu. Clearly didn't care. He went for an aging veteran first baseman immediately after getting rid of Abreu.
Key from L.A., what do you think of my Angels' chances of beating the Astros this year in the division?
Not much. I think they're going to struggle this year.
Yeah, I don't like your chances, Key from L.A. You should enjoy football season. Enjoy your Chargers.
You're trying to decide which ones you're going to read next?
I didn't know what this one meant.
The 3955?
No, I haven't got there.
Okay.
Jeremy would be in Soft Boys if Joy didn't can him like a buster. Oh, okay. I think I know what that means. Eric the Buyer, if the Astros got rid of Dubon, who would take his place in the HEB commercials?
Great question.
I actually know the guy who does that. He
Is Cam
he told
Smith?
He told me they might take a year off.
Ooh.
He said, we'll see.
He's like, because Cam Smith's not HEB ready.
He's like, Diesel, you're off.
Who else could be? Who could replace Dubon?
Well, Correa is back in now.
Correa is back. Yeah, I mean, Correa is probably already replacing Dubon.
I would get Yordan, but I'd be scared to get hurt on the way. Jeremy, your logic is as flawed as your taste in fashion. Every hitter had a bad year. Pena and Jake excluded. I don't know what that means. Like, are you talking about like my take on Dubon? Because Dubon didn't have a bad year. Dubon's had a bad offensive career. Like, what am I missing here?
Yeah,
maybe you're saying something else. I don't know. Jasper says, oh, ban me. You're good, Jasper. You can hang around. Let's all make Branham mad. Cilantro tastes like soap. Cilantro's pretty polarizing taste. I used to not love it as a kid. I love it now, though.
But that's like a genetic thing, right?
Yeah, like my wife has that thing.
It can't be genetic if I didn't like it as a kid.
No, I meant
like
the soap part of it.
Oh.
That's for some people, it does
taste
like
soap. Yeah, some people just straight up taste like soap.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
My wife included.
Interesting.
Which, that would be a bummer.
I love the flavor of cilantro.
So do I.
Same.
So good. As a Astros season ticket holder, I'm terrified for the 26th season. Just curious, why do you say a spot is mid? Because I think he ranks in the middle of Major League Baseball managers. I don't think he's a like tremendous leader in the clubhouse. Game day manager, I think, is pretty average. I don't think he just like oozes leadership. I think he's a little cheesy. I think he's a little corny at times, frankly.
That's where he started to lose me a little bit last year.
Yeah.
With the Cam Smith stuff specifically.
I think he got outmanaged by Detroit whenever he lost the two-game series. Just not a huge spotted guy. I think he's middle of the pack. The Dodgers' backup utility player is Kike. The position definitely matters, especially come October. No more coffee, Jeremy. I don't have any coffee right now.
Yeah, but Kike Hernandez is also a starter on a lot of teams.
No, I disagree. I think he's overrated. I think he's perfect backup player.
He just comes through in the clutch every
October. He does have big moments. Yeah, he does have some big moments. This is why U of H lost to my Florida in the championship final. Cry about it more. You, sir, ejected, gone for the rest of the show.
You just made the list.
Jeremy's ready to DFA Espada. I wouldn't have minded if they moved on in the offseason. Not in the offseason, at the end of the season. If they would have had a managerial change, I would not have minded. We talked about this. Because Espada was on the chopping block, according to reports. Dana Brown was on the chopping block, according to reports. I would have been okay with them moving on.
Yeah, I think they're both on the hot seat this year.
I think so.
I mean, if they miss the playoffs again this year, there's no chance they're back.
Mm-hmm.
Even if there's all these injuries.
It's one thing to criticize a player, a general manager, or a manager. Being a broadcaster or a raise your personality. It's another thing if you're going to sound like you can do a better job than them. Why don't you apply for that job to see if you can do better? I don't think I would get the job.
If I applied
for the general manager job for the Houston Astros, because they'll post it on LinkedIn. Do you think I would get? No, I don't think so. Do you think I would get an interview for the Houston Astros? I love these. Oh, you should go out and do it better. It's like whenever a player doesn't make a catch and like you're critical of the player for not making the catch, like a routine catch. Well, you should go out there and try. One, they won't let me. Two, you're comparing an NFL level player with some jabroni who talks in a microphone. Yeah. That's the bar that you want to create for the player? I love those arguments.
It's my least favorite arguments in what we do.
Oh, man. The Astros have upgraded the utility position every year. Arias was the next link to that. This is against the formula. I agree. I agree with Branham. I would rather have Arias over Dubon. However, we were talking about bench players, so I'm guessing Dana Brown and company would rather have a position versatility off the bench rather than the better bat. That is their logic. I understand the logic. I just think Arias is better than Dubon, and I think that you have backup outfielders that you're going to carry on the team.
Yeah, I mean, if Jesus Sanchez and Jacob Melton are on this roster, how many games is Dubon playing in the outfield this year?
He shouldn't play. Now, if you trade Jake Myers, it changes some things.
Of course.
Because we talked about Dubon being the right-handed option in center field against left-handed pitching. So if it's part of like a bigger thing and they trade Myers, okay, I'll back out of this a little bit. Like, okay, because now Dubon is probably your center fielder against lefties. So I'll throw in that caveat. I will recant my madness over this move if they trade Jake Myers in the offseason and Dubon's your right-handed center fielder.
I just don't think we're going to see a lot of Dubon this year as the roster is currently constructed, frankly. Like, okay, if it's as is, no trades. Paredes and Altuve and Dubon can play second base. You have your shortstop position covered with Peña and Correa. Correa and Paredes can play third, as can Dubon. Dubon can also play short. You're locked in at first base. You have all these outfielders out there. When's Dubon playing on a regular basis? He should not be playing as much this year.
That's why this move will have to have trades to make sense.
Yeah.
Because you already have an infield surplus. You have a position player surplus. So unless you're, you know, trading two guys, this move doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
One of them's probably Myers and one of them's an infielder.
Yeah.
Because right now, if you keep all your infielders, then you're rotating Isak Paredes around the horn. You're DHing Isak Paredes. There's not really room on the infield for Dubon. Now, if you trade one of the infielders and you trade Jake, then it magnifies Dubon's importance.
Sure.
So I will recant some of this anger over Dana Brown if they trade at least Jake Myers and or position player. Hated onions as a kid, loved them as an adult, says a junkie. I'm coming around on onions. Used to not be a huge onion guy, but I like them a little bit more now. This junkie really wants me to read this text. Branham is sponsored by Tampax today. But he misspelled today. He spelled it T-O-A-Y. Like, if you're gonna insult, which I'm fond of, I like conflict, and I love conflict, you know that, and awkward conversations. If you're going to insult, though, you got to at least spell today right. Mm-hmm. You got to hit on the words.
You got to get the spelling.
You can't lob insults and then misspell words, and you can't send it twice. Because that lessens the impact of the insult.
Was it misspelled both times?
It said, Branham is sponsored by Tampax 2A. And then he said, please just say you're sponsored by Tampax today. So he like got it right please? The second time. Asking nicely while insulting.
Nicely while insulting from a joke that feels like it's from 30 years ago, too. It's like, that's such an outplayed
it's
joke.
Also very, it's very misogynist.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, you're misogynist. Should we ban him from the misogyny or should we encourage the misogyny?
Ban him.
Go ahead, Joe. You do it.
Bam!
Is that your ejection?
You just
call?
Made the list.
It is now.
You need to work on that.
That was quite a windup.
That's four.
What did you say?
Banned.
Oh, banned. We're not. They're not banned. They're just ejected.
Ejected.
They can come back tomorrow.
Banned
Rocky, they won't get rid of Dubon because he's JV's personal center fielder and he's coming back. That might be the best take of them all.
I mean, if that's why he's here, I hate it even more.
What goofball listens to Sports Talk and then tells Sports Talk's host they couldn't do a better job than the people they're talking about? Clown emoji.
Great yeah. question.
No duh.
We should actually, that should be an open invitation. The guy that said that I can't catch a football or I can't manage a baseball game as good as Espada and can't general manage a roster as good as Dana Brown, which you're probably right, but we're going to be critical of it. You can come in and do the radio show for a segment. Come on. Why not? A segment.
At a remote.
At a remote. Because
we have
the microphone.
We have the microphone.
I mean, we let Sarge
open
do a whole
invitation.
Show, so.
Wow.
Jeez. I like Sarge.
I do too.
Brian.
Sheesh. Pew, 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 pew. I thought that was going to, I thought there was going to be a lot of conflict on that show. I was hoping there was going to be a lot of conflict and a lot of, like, argument. And it was very friendly.
It was very friendly.
And it was very disappointing. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Let's get to the thing that we wanted to talk about first today. The thing we're going to talk about first today was Monday Night Football. We'll talk about what we were going to talk about first today. Cowboys, Raiders, and the excellent coaching of Brian Schottenheimer next. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. New name, Jeremy Banham. Tiger and JT would have thought the Tampax joke was funny. Remember that?
I don't think I do.
Yeah, because you're casual. You remember it, Brian?
I don't.
Casual.
No.
You guys don't keep up with the gentleman sport.
They
were playing in a round together. Tiger's older now. I think Tiger outdrove JT. They were walking up the fairway, and Tiger slipped him a Tampax.
Oh.
Or a tampon. I guess I don't know if it's Tampax or not. That was a brand, right? Tampax is a brand.
So. Was that during one of like the match?
No, I don't remember the event. I don't know. I don't think it was the match because they would have been in carts in the match.
Okay,
this was some sort of event. Now it could have been a practice round, but they're usually not filming that closely to pick that up. It might have just been a normal event. They're paired up together. That would be my guess.
Feels like that's a bold move on a normal
where's,
event.
Where's Will Doctor when you need him? Well, I mean, Tiger's done a lot of questionable things in his life. Joe.
That's true.
I don't know if you're familiar with that. A lot of questionable things in the life of Tiger. I'm actually fascinated by the life and times of Tiger Woods.
You think he's sending DMs like Ryan allegedly sent?
I think that he probably has, yes.
Yeah.
But probably on his burner phone. Or probably had like somebody do it.
Unique.
Yeah. Unique New York.
That's if you, a, don't, that's if a you voice don't know, exercise. Look it up.
Unique New York. Spicy Jeremy is fire. I got Pepto for the haters. Grade the joke. 713-780-3776.
Like a four?
I like the emoji use.
Yeah, the emojis help.
The emoji use was strong.
Yeah.
Pepto for the haters, not the best put down, but not bad.
Yeah, it's a four.
Plus he curried some favor with me. So I'll give it a 5-6.
Curried some favor? Spicy?
Now it's a two.
That's bad, bro.
I thought that's the joke you were making. I was asking.
Brian, I thought the same thing.
That was not
Jeremy
a joke.
Jeremy gave me a look. He was totally making that joke. You gave me almost like a little wink.
You got a bleeping grin on your face right now.
You were totally making this on purpose.
No, I say that line all the time.
This is like your 6-7. I didn't mean to do it on purpose.
No, dude. I say curried favor all the time.
I do not. No, you don't.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do say
curry. All the time?
Yes, I say curry favor a lot.
No, I think you're running from your own joke.
No, and I can actually tell you the genesis of curry flavor.
Oh, please do.
The woman's wrestler, the soldier lady. They were talking about how she would curry favor with people.
Oh, from
May
Young?
Jane or whatever?
May Young back in the day?
No. She was like new and then like got pregnant and like never has been seen again. I think they were going to try to do a thing with like her and Ric Flair where like Ric Flair was like
you know, dating her.
Forget her name. But yeah, that would be
something like her, whenever she had like the Southern gimmick.
Yes, I know.
They would talk about how she would curry favor. And I was like, that's a good line. I'm going to use that. And I have used curry favor a handful of times in my radio career.
So now you back down from a lot.
So I got
a handful.
But
you don't have a receipt.
I just told you the whole Genesis story.
That's not a receipt. You can't prove it. You're just saying
that is
it.
Exactly proof that like it does a great job of highlighting and proving that it wasn't some cheesy pun.
It's not proof. You're just saying that you said it. As he said, she said. It's not
holding up. I think
it's
more than he said, she said. Like there's literally a lineage of where it came from.
Lineage.
I was going to say, you say lineage?
The first time that I did 6-7, I did on that Two Creeks read, that was not on purpose.
Uh-huh.
The first time was not.
Okay.
The times after.
It was on purpose.
Yes. The first time was not. I don't lie. Because if you lie and the person catches you in a lie, you will forever be thought of them
as
a liar.
Yep.
So I don't get caught up in lie. I'll tell you the truth, man.
Can we go back to lineage now?
Did I say it wrong?
Yeah.
Did I say lineage?
No, you said lineage, isn't it?
Lineage? Yeah, you said lineage.
How do you say it?
Lineage.
What did I say?
Lineage.
Lineage instead of lineage?
Yeah, you said it like instead of lin, you said lean.
You guys are mean, man. I'm ESL. English is my second language. And you're sitting here, emphasis on the vowel.
I think it was mostly because we were already arguing, so I was just going
to
pile on.
I also have no leg to stand on there. I bash y'all for getting names wrong all the time.
Yes, of course.
I got no leg. Look at this. Junkie. I remember hearing JB say curry favor a lot.
Define a lot.
I said a handful of times. I don't know. If I had to put a number on it, I would say a dozen times. A dozen times. Lacey Evans was her name.
That's it.
So he said China. No, China's not currying favor.
She's also not with us.
She's gone?
Yeah. She died like 10 years ago.
I didn't know that.
Wait, are you being for real?
I didn't. Now that you say it, it like jogs my memory.
Okay.
But I would, like, if you would have just asked me point blank, is she alive or dead? I wouldn't have known the answer to that.
Yeah, she died in 2016.
Dang, I didn't know that. What did she do? Like, how?
I don't want me to read her Wikipedia?
I mean, I brought it up.
Well, I don't know.
Did you see the coaching job of Brian? The Cowboys got their head coaching job right, by the way.
Back to sports.
I think that? Because of Brian Schottenheimer, baby.
You love Brian Schottenheimer.
Brian Schottenheimer won the football game yesterday because he laid down the law. He dropped the hammer. He showed everybody in Dallas that he means business. He's not a Jerry Jones puppet. He is not that. He is a leader of men. He means business, and he stands on it. Brian Schottenheimer yesterday benching CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens for one entire series where they went 3-and-out. Benching him for that entire series was excellent coaching, excellent leadership, and it is no surprise that Brian Schottenheimer and the Cowboys rolled the Raiders after that because he got the locker room in his corner and even the respect of CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens the moment he made that decision.
Do we know what they did yet?
I don't know.
Just have both guys, like it's like Abdul Carter slept through a meeting.
Yeah. Which he admitted it. He's like, yeah, it happened.
Yeah.
Bad mistake. My bad.
But like, how do both guys, like, what did they do?
Hopefully they weren't sleeping.
It's true.
That'd be bad if both your receivers are sleeping.
Yeah. It wouldn't be great.
No, it wouldn't be good.
Or if just both missed practice.
What if they got in a fight?
That's what.
I mean, it was only one series, so it could have been anything. Like, my guess is they were late for a team meeting.
Yeah.
They were probably late for, like, you know, the offensive walkthrough.
Carpool got late. Got delayed.
Well, the quote from Schottenheimer said, things that were missed. I mean, what could that be other than...
They missed a walkthrough.
They missed a walkthrough or a meeting.
But that was excellent leadership, I thought, by Brian Schottenheimer. Cowboy fans should be happy today. 4-5-1. They're in the race, Joe.
They are.
They're in the NFC race, kind of. That's good. It's good for the Cowboys. They're sticking around in the race. They're currently, San Fran's 7-4. Like, it's a pretty decent gap.
Yeah, I mean, the gap between them and even just
them.
The Panthers.
That tie hurts them, man.
It does.
Because, I mean, 5-5.
It feels like that tie between either trying to catch up or in them for the Packers as well is going to play a big factor in the season.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the NFC is so deep right now. You have 9 teams with 6 wins or more.
Yeah, that's tough.
It's going to be hard for the Cowboys to overcome.
Last night was kind of a must-win for them. But I'm glad that they got it. Dak Prescott was feeding families yesterday. Mm-hmm. Love that from Dak. Chip Kelly.
Who wanted that idiot?
It was like $6 million to be the OC there?
Yeah.
Oof.
Even Pete Carroll. I mean, maybe it's more of a roster issue than it is just the... Like 6 carries for Ashton Gentry?
Yeah,
that's
game script, though, you fell behind early. You weren't running the ball at all.
I thought I saw a stat, though, that was like first 30 plays, it was still only like three carries. So it wasn't like they got so far behind and then they abandoned the run. They just didn't do it from the beginning.
And even then, like, you know he's your best weapon on offense, him and Brock Bowers. So, like, I don't know if there's anything wrong with trying to continue to run the ball with Ashton Jeanty in that game. And he's been poorly used all season. So, like, last night just kind of adds to this entire year.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN. You boys good with game balls?
Game balls?
713-780-3776.
We can do that.
Let's hand out some game balls next. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Affordability right now, biggest problem in today's car market. New vehicles average nearly $48,000 in most people's wages. Well, they just haven't kept up. That's why some people are stuck with these seven-year loans just to make the payments work. You got negative equity. You're trying to sell that car, and you can't because you still owe a ton of money on it. It's all bad right now. At D&M Leasing, they solve those problems with the Easy Lease. They offer lower monthly payments, no money down, and terms that make sense. Don't overpay. Solve the payment problem. Just go to dmautoleasing.com, or you can call 713-290-1000. You submit your information, you're going to get a call from a leasing agent. They're going to walk you through the process very simply. You're going to be working with one person the entire time. They're going to bring that car right to you, whether it's to your office, your home. If you're at lunch, say, hey, this is the best time for you to come get my car, and they're going to take your trade-in with you as well. Check them out, dmautoleasing.com, or call 713-290-1000 and tell them Joe George sent you.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
What kind of Mexican name is Branham? My dad's white. My mom.
And I'm Mexican.
From Rios, so that's where the Mexican. I'm half. Dad is white. Mom is Mexican. Pete with lambs and pickens, whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I didn't think about that. That's a good point. All right, game balls. You're giving a game ball to 713-780-3776. Giving away U of H Cougar tickets later, by the way. So make sure you're locked in. All right, what are you giving? Who are you giving your first game ball to, Joe?
I mean, there's not a lot to choose from in some of these games. So we're going to go Jordan Brooks, Miami Dolphins, 20 total tackles in the game this weekend.
You're not going to believe this.
Is that what you wrote down?
You stole mine.
I'm surprised you both gave it to him over Achan. Achan was great.
Yeah, but I like to give defensive players the game ball in defensive games. And Achan couldn't punch it in from the one, you jabroni. Some people own you in fantasy football. Think about that when you're trying to punch it in from the one.
Yeah. Do you have a burn with him this weekend or something?
Oh, yeah, I did. I played him against Joe. Yeah, I lost.
Oh, who won?
Joe did. Joe smoked me. It wouldn't matter if he got in either. Joe smoked me. All right, I'm next. Bryce Young, the little guy, 448 yards, three touchdown passes. Bryce Young is the man in Carolina. Game ball.
I'll give someone a game ball that Jeremy will probably point out. He also threw two interceptions. But Josh Allen, six touchdowns, 317 through the air, 40 on the ground, plus six touchdowns. I'll repeat again. Gets my first game ball.
My note on Josh Allen was half a dozen TDs, LOL.
He's ridiculous.
Yeah, but he gets never won a Super Bowl.
We'll see.
Travis Etienne, 19 carries, 73 yards, two touchdowns in the game for Jacksonville.
I don't think he was the leading rusher for Jacksonville.
By a yard.
Okay, was that? I remember him being second.
Yeah, seven more rushing.
Yeah, I didn't 74 know to 73. Okay. But he had two touchdowns. Tootin only had one.
I'm big on Tootin. Big fan of his. The beast incarnate, Brock Purdy. Three touchdowns in his return. He's back, and he's better than ever.
All right, I'll go local. Nico Collins got targeted early, often. Nine receptions, 92 yards, and a touchdown. Plus, that 3rd and 17 was ridiculous, both the throw and the catch. But Nico Collins deserves a game ball.
Let's go Matt Stafford here. Two touchdowns on the day. No, thank you.
I had two people over him.
Who'd you have?
I gave mine to Cameron Kitchens, two interceptions in the win versus the Seahawks.
I had Puka and Kyron over him, too.
Yeah, you're an offensive stand. Give me the defensive guy. He had half of the interceptions that Sam Darnold threw.
That's true. I missed that.
That's okay. It's your game ball.
I was looking at the offense, but I'm going with Stafford.
You want your defensive side of the room to hate your guts. That's fine. That's your prerogative.
Got to give it to the MVP.
Christian Watson.
Oh, yeah.
Four catches, 46 yards, the only one. Two TDs for Christian Watson.
I'll give my next one to, I didn't think I'd be doing this, but Kenneth Gainwell. He was a PPR machine. 7 for 81 through the air, 2 touchdowns receiving, plus 24 rushing yards. Really stepped up with, even before the injury to their other running back, he was still seemingly outgaining that room. So Kenneth Gainwell gets my next game ball.
Okay, my wife was texting me. I got distracted. She told me to TikTok more. All right, what is yours, Joe?
Jaquan McMillan.
Oh, yeah.
2 sacks on the day for the game. For the Broncos?
Yeah.
That was mine for that game.
No, you didn't scroll down far enough. No, you ruined it.
What?
You ruined it.
What did I miss?
You ruined it. What did you say he did?
2 sacks on the day.
Yeah, and? You scroll down.
It was 2 interceptions and a sack, by the way.
No.
Oh, 1 interception.
Two sacks. And you're both wrong. Yep. 2 sacks and an interception.
That's right.
You're not giving him full credit.
Why do they separate the box score?
2 sacks and an interception for Jaquan McMillan. Good job recognizing ball, but bad job with the numbers. Right, my next game ball goes to my good friend, Braden Mann. Oh. He had 7 punts, 4 inside the 20. He touched the ball, Joe and Brian and Junkies. Braden Mann touched the ball more than any Eagle receiver and was equal to A.J. Brown. Touched the ball equal to A.J. Brown more than any other Eagle receiver. Braden Mann is the greatest thing in Philly.
Since you're playing it's a bit, I'll give the real game ball from that game. And I'm going to give it to Jordan Davis,
who felt
like he had, 17 pass deflections? But nearly half the passes golf through were batted down by Jordan Davis. I think you can really give it to anyone on that entire Eagles defense. Nakobe Dean was also great, had a sack, and felt like he played really great in coverage. But, Jordan Davis was a monster.
All right, sometimes you have to go outside the box here for a game ball, okay?
Outside the box.
Branham gave one to a punter.
Yeah.
Twice, 2 weeks in a row.
I'm giving one to someone that's not even on the team.
That's fine.
But there's no explanation for what's happened to the Chicago Bears.
Except for
divine intervention, because the Pope has helped the Bears. 5 comeback wins this year. I'm giving my game ball to the Pope.
Why did you say the Pope?
The Bears.
Oh, okay. I knew that there was something I was missing there.
He's from Chicago. I give no other explanation.
Yeah.
Give it to the Pope.
Now he's got Dub Pope. He's got Touchdown Jesus. This is turning into a weird thing.
I gave mine to Cairo Santos.
Probably.
I actually did too.
But the thing is, he also missed the field goal that could have cost him the game.
He did.
So that's why I didn't want to give it to him.
Fair enough.
But there's no one really to give it to. I mean, maybe Swift?
Yeah, you could go Byard maybe.
I'll go Dak Prescott. He had more touchdown passes than he does letters in his first name.
I will go see. I'm trying to see who we have left here.
Come on, Brian.
I think we've hit all the games.
There's one.
Baltimore. There's one game. Derrick Henry's on my list. Yeah. Derrick Henry, thank you. 103 yards rushing and a touchdown. Derrick Henry was very good, even though the Ravens as an offense weren't all that great.
There you go. Cleveland. Game balls, week 11.
Yep.
NFL season. There's only 3 more weeks in the fantasy football regular season. King of Twitch was asking earlier. Playoffs in fantasy football, King of Twitch, are right around the corner. You wouldn't know about that, though. Ain't none of your teams.
Oh, you think he's not good at fantasy football?
No, he doesn't play fantasy football. He says it's for nerds.
Mm.
He does the other thing, like hang out on Twitch all day. 713-780-3776.
A fat guy in his underwear living in his mother's basement.
Yeah, he's on the streaming sites all day, and other things are nerdy to him. All right, don't ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. What are things that happened in the Texans game that even in victory you cannot ignore? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.